This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I live in a Christian country. I go to a big church. It's built on the same specifications as Noah's Ark. And the guy says, I cannot help you, my friends. So I left and I went home. And I got drunk. Drank. And supposed to smoke. So I could forget the answer. So I could forget myself. And I was again locked up in the dark room. Chained to the chair. Not knowing where to turn. Where to look. Where to go. No, you didn't get me. I've got a problem with it. I've come out for some support in a very difficult time. I've got a problem with this girl. Please help me. She is no good for you. You get rid of her. She get rid of you. What? Are you for real? She just told me to leave and now you're telling me to leave her. What is this? What sort of a religion is this? He said, read this, please. I take the books away. I read. For 2 weeks. I'm reading. Sirah. Quran. History of Islam. Everything. How to make ghusl. How to make wudu. How to get divorced. How to get married. How to do this and qadara qadara. Every single thing you can imagine that a Muslim needs to know. In fact, I read more than most Muslims read in their entire life in that 2 weeks. I guarantee you. Subhanallah. I was reading and reading. And I went back to her. I knocked on the door. And I said to her, hey, ex. She was my ex by that time. I said to her, my dear, I really have to apologize to you. Your religion is great.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله كريم. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send the peace and blessings upon the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed those who follow in his righteous footsteps until the day of judgment is established, and none truly has knowledge of that day apart from Allah. Apart from Allah. Today I want to address the topic and explain like a part of my history. The topic is how I escaped the captivity of darkness. The captivity of darkness. And the brother just mentioned, subhanAllah, you know, when you see reverts, they're coming into the fold of Islam by the bucket loads everywhere. Everywhere you go, as long as you just explain the message of Islam, you'll find someone will come out of the woodwork. Someone is part of the wall. He comes and he, you know, the wall falls down and he comes, he takes shahada. Everywhere you go. I was in Africa. I visited 6 countries in Africa. And the people are hungry for Islam. We had one gathering where 40 or 50 people took shahada. We couldn't handle the number of shahadas that were coming. I was in Pakistan and people are re-accepting this Islam. Many people in Pakistan, in the lands where some of you come from, they've left Islam. They were sold a dream by the scientists, the ulama of the modern world. They were sold a dream that they came out of nothing and they had no purpose but to be eaten by the worms. This is what they were told. But even their ulama, their scholars are arguing and they have ikhtilaf. There's no definitive statements coming out of science today. You see? For 26 years, I existed, like the brother had mentioned. He said it wasn't a life. He said it was an existence. That's exactly what I was going to say in my lecture. The first word in my lecture, it was an existence. It wasn't a life. For 26 years, I was confined. I was in solitary confinement in a dark space, attached to a chair with a blindfold on. I could only call and people couldn't hear. That is what it's like. For many people out there, if not the majority of people out there who don't claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them and they have a purpose to worship Allah. Many people, most of the people I would say, they have an existence. They are in solitary confinement. They are shackled. They are diseased in their mind because they don't understand why they're even here. This is the reality. It's a reality. Can you live your life without Islam? Okay, you can miss your salah here and there. You can do some sins, so on and so forth. But you know, it comes Friday. Hey, Yom Jummah, the Eid of the Muslims. You go to the masjid and you seek the repentance of Allah. You seek tawbah. So you got something to live for, even if you just do it every Friday. Back in the day, when we had no Islam, we had no Kitab Allah, we had no Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did we have to rely on? Who could we consult? Apart from our own hearts, who could we consult? Who can they consult with? Who can they consult with? For 26 years, I was living in this dark room and glimpses of light used to come through the window. I used to hear voices coming through the window telling me this is right and that is right, and isms and ologies and schisms and all of the other things, all the different philosophies you can imagine used to come into my room. The only thing which didn't come into that room for 26 years, 11 years of those I was actively searching, the only thing that didn't come my way was the Quran. For 11 years it took that Quran to come through that door. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you with sincerity, I want you to answer with an open heart. Every journey, it has 3 characteristics, right? A journey, you define a journey because it has a beginning. It has an end. And what else does it have? What else? Put your hands up and tell me. What does that journey? How do you actually characterize that journey? There's two. There's a beginning and an end, and there's something else. What is it? Anyone know? Okay, so I'm going to ask you in the morning, you come here 8 o'clock. We're going on a journey. We're starting from Oslo, 8 o'clock. What are you going to ask me? What are you going to ask me? You're going to ask me where we're going, right? So the third characteristic of a journey, the third criteria of a journey is a purpose. So outside, if you look outside, and this is what we used to go through, most of mankind is on a journey where it definitely had a beginning. They were born. And it definitely, most certainly, 1,000%, if you can have 1,000%, it has an end. Life, it has a beginning and it has an end. But for most of people, a majority of people living in these lands, there is absolutely no purpose whatsoever. So the journey becomes useless. It is worthless. It is meaningless. So this is why in these necks of the woods, you will find in Europe, in the West, in the sophisticated part of the world that we live in today, you will find people are ending the journey themselves. They stop the journey and they jump in front of a train. They stop the journey, they jump off a bridge. They stop the journey, they take too many pills. They kill themselves. They drown themselves in their sorrows with copious amounts of alcohol and drugs. Because the journey doesn't make any sense because they don't know their purpose. So for 26 years, can you imagine being locked in a dark room, chained to a chair? Do you know what it's like? Does anyone know what it's like? Does anyone know what it's like to be a captive of your own self? And then you have Ahmed next door, a Muslim. And he never tried to explain the purpose of life to you. He says in his book, call the people to Islam. It clearly defines what a Muslim is. He has a man that he understands, who he takes as his best friend, his wakil, his instructor, as his savior, his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He has this man. Some of the people living next door to the people I'm explaining to you about, they have so much knowledge. And yet, the man is still locked away in the dark room without any understanding. Let's be honest, brothers and sisters. How many people live in the street where you live who are not yet in the understanding of the journey? How many people live right next door to you? Maybe one family? You, brother? You, sisters? How many women living next to, in your streets, that don't know the purpose of the journey? How many? Of course, you say you love Allah. You love Allah. And you love this man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than you love yourself, isn't it, brother? That's why you grow your beard. You grow your beard more than one fistful. You establish your salah in the masjid. You wear your khimar, your hijab, sisters. Because you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love yourself, more than you love your mother, more than you love all of the people in your street. And it shows, because you don't care about the people in your streets. You don't care about them at all. It's the reality. For 26 years, I was searching for the book of instruction. I went to every person I could possibly go to. I went to university for 3 years and I signed up. And my intentions, and don't forget, actions are but by intentions, famous hadith. I went there to find the purpose of life. So I didn't care whether they give me a piece of paper. As long as I found out what I was doing in this planet, I wouldn't care whether I even got a third class degree. I wouldn't care. For 11 years, then I arrive at the university. I'm cutting my journey short, but I'm not killing myself because I have the Deen of Islam. I have a purpose. I have a motive. I have a raison d'etre in France, French. Subhanallah. There I am. I'm at the university. I'm reading books by Gandhi. You know Gandhi? Gandhi ji bhai. Gandhi bhai. Very good man. Very, very good. The only thing I didn't like about Gandhi actually was his loincloth. It wasn't cool. You know, the loincloth. Jaddis. But the rest of it, I kind of liked him, you know, because he was fighting the Brits. And I loved anyone who was fighting the Brits. He had, you know, intelligence. And what he thought is what he did. So I read a lot about Gandhi. I was reading about Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, all of these different famous writers, Russian authors. I was reading René Descartes and many, many other philosophers. When I left school, by the way, I hadn't read one book. In fact, I had the accolade of being the only person in my class, who had never read a book. And I had some other people that had the accolade of reading all the books in the class, you see? So I was the one, no books, they had all the books. That's what I was like. I was failing myself, probably. I was failing myself, probably. Wasn't I? Because, I mean, of course, the first words of the Quran are, Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbik alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created you. So I should have read, but they were reading John and Paul, Peter and Jane. And books that didn't give you knowledge. Just taught you how to read so you can become a consumer, so you can buy and sell, and then you die. What? For nothing. Is that the purpose of life? I said to myself, no way. And then my friend, not no way, yes way. I said to my friends, they would take me out to the pub. You know what a pub is? Who's been to a pub here? Don't put your hands up. Okay, you can be there, yeah. He's left your ex-Muslim, of course, or and of course you can put your hands up. Or if you're a person who wasn't a Muslim. So he used to take me to the pub every weekend for 8 years. I was with this one guy called Brian. And he used to take me there and We used to say, look, let's find love. Let's find some love in this world, because the world didn't have any love. I remember my mother and my father, right? In the years that I spent with them, 15 years I spent with my mother, I never got hugged by my mother or my father. You see? My father, at the age when I was 4 years of age, the last thing I said to my father was, you better leave because my mother doesn't like you. And he left. That was it. Life was like that. And life is like that for a majority of the people out there. Don't be fools. Just because you see the smile, don't judge the book by the cover. Don't make that mistake. Just because they're smiling, it don't mean to say they're happy. Actually, when someone smiles a lot of the time, it's because they're nervous. Many people have got no reason to smile. If you're existing and you're not living and you have no purpose and you're on a journey and you don't even know where you're going, you're not smiling. Majority of the people like that, right? So I'm out in the pubs every weekend and we're trying to find some beautiful girls and we can't find them. And you find one beautiful girl and the next one she goes. And then the next one comes and she goes. And the next one, like a conveyor belt. Oh, I'm bored of this now. Is this what life is really all about? Come on, let's see something different now. Ow, this is painful. Get me out of here. I'm a Muslim. And no one ever told me. 8 years like that. For 8 solid years. In and out. And I noticed something about these people. They got the same problems. They're all smiling. And then they start to tell you all about the problems they've got. I'm depressed. I'm kind of, oh no, you're worse than me. Get out of here. I'm coming to these people so I can find the purpose of life. So I can get to know myself. And they're telling me, no, we got bigger problems than you, my friend. Get out of here. For years and years it was like this. I got to the point when I used to meet people in the street. They used to say, oh, hi. You know, you get that. Hi. What do they say in Norway? Hey, hey. You know, it's like nervous hi. Hi, hi. Get out of here. I hate you. So I used to meet the people in the street. And some used to tell me, I don't like you. Why should I even say hi to you? What does hi mean anyway? I used to analyze every single thing I used to say and hear. Hi? Shut up. Get out of here, man. Why? Am I your brother or something? Do I know you? That's what they say in the street now. Do I know you, though, in London? You know what I mean? Does I know you, like, bruv? Why are you in my face for, bro? Hi. I was just saying hi, actually. Seriously. You know where does goodbye come from? Where does the term goodbye, where does it come from? Does anyone know? Goodbye. God bless. God bless became bye. Yo. Get out of here. Hate you too. That's what he's become like now. I was listening to my son on the phone the other day. You know, now it ain't cool to say hi anymore. Yo, shut up. What are you calling me for? That's what they like now. Seriously, it might not like, it's not like that in Norway. In England, it's like that. The youth. Yeah. What? Yo. What is that a conversation? Is that really a conversation? Or is that just you dissing the guy? You just diss the guy. That was his best friend. He told me, it's my brethren. You know what I mean? Brethren. We don't need to talk. We blood. We cut the knife, join the blood. Blood, we know each other. We don't need to talk anymore. What sort of stuff is this? So I used to analyze every conversation, and I got to the point where I started saying, people say, you're mad. You need to go to a doctor. In fact, my best friend for 8 years, he sat me down on one Friday night before we were due to go out and make the same mistake we've been making for the last 8 years, going out down the pub. I got to the point where I was drinking juice, orange juice, and they were all getting completely, berserkly drunk. And I was drinking orange juice watching them. These guys are not real, are they? Oh my God. What am I doing in this place? It was killing me. Do you know how painful it was? Do you know how bad it was for you? You go home, you know, the crowd is gone. You see, the crowd is gone. They've all gone home to their little boxes in the streets, watching another box in the corner of the room. Brainwashed. Brain dead. What did you say? I don't know. It's good though, isn't it? Who made the movie? Who cares? Just watch it and shut up. That's what it's like. So I was sitting. I go home after one of these nights, and for one day, it took me 1 day to recover. 1 day just to recover from the agony of being with people I didn't know, who didn't know me, who didn't want to know me, and I didn't want to know them, but we were forcing ourselves. Let's love each other. Where's the sense in that? Where's the sense in that? Do you go out on a journey without knowing the purpose? Do you hell? No one in this world goes out on a journey before they find out the purpose of the journey. Am I right? Right. I'm in the university. I'm in the university now. I'm thinking, great. Top 5% of the world. Statistics prove top 5% of the world, the population of the world. Where do they go? University. Yeah, man. I'm going to find the answers. I'm going to find me some real people. Yeah. I'm going to become a real person. I'm going to real know what I'm doing in this world. I walk in, first day in the campus, a whole bunch of hedonistic 18-year-olds running and charging around looking for the same thing as I was. The purpose. I say, I'm not going to find the purpose here. So I start to find the mature students. I find some mature students. I find this person. I find that person. And they give me some books. They give me some literature. And someone they bring me, they say, come to this group. It's a Buddhist group. It's in Brighton. So I go to the Buddhist group. And I start to learn Buddhist meditation. And after 3 months, I pluck up the courage. And I ask the Amir of the center. I say, Amir Saab. Bhai sab, kya le? Tiko? Bilko, tiko. Can I just ask you a question? What is the purpose of life? Who is God? Why am I in this planet? Please tell me. He says to me, stirring his herbal tea. It's a remedy, you see? Herbal tea. And he says to me, the purpose of life is to contemplate the supreme nothingness. What? Did you say something that I heard you say, like you said you contradicted yourself? Did you just say the supreme is nothing and nothing is supreme? He said, yeah, that's what I said. I said, I just wasted 3 months of my life. Thank you, goodbye. And I left. I went another day, I knocked on the door of a church. And I was knocking on the door, and the guy opens the door with a dog collar. You know, I don't know why they call it dog collar. I mean, that's offensive. I mean, Christians could complain about them saying it's a dog collar. You know? It's very unfair. So anyway, I knock on the door, and he says to me, what can I do for you? I said, I just need to know the purpose of life. Can you help me? Who is God? He said, come back Monday. What? Did I just hear you right? I just want to know, who is God? Who am I? What's my purpose? So he says to me, come back Monday. I go back Monday. See, maybe this guy is going to tell me something. And I'm crying. Inside, I'm crying. I'm crying. I'm waiting for the answer. So he says to me, look, if you want to know the purpose of life, you need to do a theology degree. Does anyone know what a theology degree is? It lasts for 4 years. So this guy's made me wait from 3 days, and now he's making me wait 4 years to get the answer. You understand? That's problematic. So he says to me, 4 years. I said, look, I looked into theology. I looked into doing the course at Trinity College Dublin. I turned it down. So I'm not up for that. I'm not going to do it. He said, well, then, you know, really, I'm really sorry, but I cannot help you. I said, but you're a priest. You're wearing this dog collar, and you're wearing the robes, and you got a big church across. He said, look, let me tell you the truth. He said, you know, I come in the morning, I open the door, I let the people in, they worship if they want, I let them out in the night, I close the door. He said, that's my job. That's my job. He said, that's your job. And you don't know about God, and it's your job. That's a fraud. That's fraudulence. I went out. It's like Mike Tyson had smacked me in the jaw in his prime. What? I live in a Christian country. I go to a big church. It's built on the same specifications as Noah's Ark. And the guy says, I cannot help you, my friends. So I left and I went home and I got drank and smoked so I could forget the answer, so I could forget myself. And I was again locked up in the dark room, chained to the chair, not knowing where to turn, where to look, where to go. And then I start to read some books about astronomy. I'm reading books about astronomy and I'm looking up at the stars, the night sky. Is anyone, who in the room looks up at the night sky? Loads. Put your hands up if you do. Mostly sisters, right? Sisters are stargazers. See, if you look up at the night sky, if you get the opportunity, in Oslo, can you see the night sky? Can you? In London, you can't see the night sky at all. The more you live in big human settlements, in dwellings where human beings are millions, the less you can see of the cosmos. Telling, isn't it? You see? So there I am. I'm living in Brighton, in Lewes, close to Brighton, Lewes, small village, tight place, probably very big town compared to Oslo. But anyway, and then I'm looking up at the night sky. I'm reading these books on astronomy, and I start to realize the astronomical. Well, that's why they call it astronomy, right? Astronomical. Very big. Distances. The nearest star. Alpha Centauri. 4 light years away. Light traveling at the speed of light for 4 years. You can never get there. You can't get to the nearest star. No one in this planet can get to the nearest star. Not even the greatest scientists in the world can get to the nearest star. Not even if they tried. The nearest star. And then I'm reading about stars millions of light years away. And that's in this universe. And that's not compared to the universes beyond that. And the universes beyond that. And the universes beyond that. And the universes beyond that. I'm looking up and I'm crying every night. I'm crying. I'm saying, oh, whoever created that, tell me the truth. Let me know. Oh, let me escape from this darkness. Oh, darkness. Darkness upon darkness. Ignorance upon ignorance. Every night. Getting worse and worse. I'm desperate now. I've done everything. I've done veganism. You know what veganism? You can't even eat or take the products of the animals. I've tried that one. I tried veganism and vegetarianism. I've tried every ism and schism. Believe me. Nothing ever worked. And then one day, I'm in the university. This is like, you know, condensing 11 years into Time's Up. Oh, Time's Up. What's that, Time's Up? 11 years into 30 minutes. And then, out of the blue, just as when I am thinking seriously, contemplating what they call hari-kari, contemplating the ends, thinking about the end of the journey because there's no purpose for the journey, so you may as well end it yourself. And these parts of the world we know have the biggest statistical analysis of people that make suicide, right? In these parts of the world, Norway, Sweden, Scandinavian countries, then Benelux, and then European, America, and then the Muslim world, it's right down the bottom of the scale. Telling, isn't it? Because when you have a purpose, you have a drive, you have ambition, you have a man to follow, you have a book of instruction, you see, it's different. And you guys take it for granted and you don't share it. This is the real problem. So I'm there. I'm in the university campus and I've done all of this stuff. And this girl who I got to know, she says to me, "Look, sorry to say this, Tim, but you can't come to my house tomorrow." I say, "Well, what do you mean? What do you mean I can't come? Is this the way people who love each other, they treat each other?" This is the first time I found a person who loves, inverted commas, "loves you." What does that mean anyway? "I love you for the sake of your money. I love you because your face is so beautiful and cute. What do you really love? And why?" That's what we should have been asking her. Anyway, she says to me, "You can't come to my house tomorrow." I said, "Why?" She said, "It's my religion." I said, "Why? Why is your religion telling you to throw people out you love?" She said to me, "Well, don't cuss my religion, otherwise I'm going to get mean." I said, "Well, you know what? Either your religion is wrong or you are wrong. Simple stuff. Two options, you or your religion." So she says to me, "Get out of here." Now I've really gone and done it. I go in the morning, Islamic society. Knock on the door in the university. "Hi, I've got a problem with a girlfriend." "Girlfriend? You what, boy? Yeah, I've got it. You will have a problem if you don't get rid of her. I'm telling you." No, you didn't get me. "I've got a problem with it. I've come out for some support in a very difficult time. I've got a problem with this girl. Please help me." "She is no good for you. You get rid of her, she get rid of you." "What? Are you for real? She's just told me to leave, and now you're telling me to leave her? What is this? What sort of a religion is this?" He said, "Read this, please." I take the books away. I read. For 2 weeks, I'm reading Sirah, Quran, history of Islam, everything. How to make ghusl, how to make wudu, how to get divorced, how to get married, how to do this and qadara qadara, every single thing you can imagine that a Muslim needs to know. In fact, I read more than most Muslims read in their entire life in that 2 weeks. I guarantee you. Subhanallah. I was reading and reading. And I went back to her. I knocked on the door. And I said to her, "Hey, ex." She was my ex by that time. I said to her, "My dear, I really have to apologize to you. Your religion is great. You are the problem. Why didn't you tell me that we should have been married? Why didn't you tell me? You let me down and your religion's good, man. I wish I could be a Muslim." Ah. Now, what did she tell me? She was angry with me. She was like crying. She was saying, "You're ruining my life. You're messing me around." I'm telling her Islam is good. And she's telling me, you've messed me up. She doesn't understand the da'wah. She doesn't understand Islam. So there I am. For 2 weeks, another 2 weeks, I'm struggling and I'm really wanting to try to get to know her. And I'm doing it now. Even though for years and years I've been studying the purpose of life and trying to escape from that dark room. And I'm almost there. I'm thinking, wow. And then she tells me, you know, this is not for you. It ain't for you, this religion. And then at the end of it, one day, I started to fast for Allah. What was that month? That month was Shahar Ramadan. The month of the Quran. The month of blessing. The month of eternity. The month of the eternal challenge to mankind. The month of the Quran. The month of the Quran. The Quran that has never been changed by human hand. That is memorized by millions. Some kids the age of 5. The month when the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got wahi, he got revelation. In the month when that Quran was revealed and mankind had been announced to be saved, to have their perfected way of life given to them, presented to them in a book over 23 years, that Quran, on that month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to that girl and the girl sent me away. And I went to the Islamic Society, they gave me the books and I understood why for 26 years I've been living in a black room, a dark room with a blindfold on, with no purpose, with no game plan, with no rules, with no book of instruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me like this. By a person who I found love from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from something that you love, He will guide you to something which is better for you than any of that. Islam, my brothers and sisters, is for everyone. It is not the requirement of you to be a Muslim that you should have a white hat and have a brown face. I'm testimony to that. So is this brother over here. So is the brother over there. And the two sisters who accepted Islam. And all of these. How many? I want you to do me a favor today. I'm not going to expose you. Because it's a good exposure, right? Who is a revert? Who is it? Put your hands up. Okay, now stand up. Stand up if you're revert. Okay. Did you do that? Stand up, my brother. Please. You're a revert. You really believe it? Okay, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Any others? All of you stand up. I just want you to show yourself to these Muslim brothers who have been here all of these years and who have neglected you. They've neglected you and your brothers and sisters who are outside. Okay, you can sit down. You see, Islam is for Norway. Islam has to be for Norway because there is nothing else left. Nothing else left. After Islam, there's nothing else to go beyond. Nothing before and nothing after. Socialism has failed the world. Capitalism failed the world. Globalization failed the world. All of it failed the world. European economic system is in meltdown. America owes trillions and trillions of dollars and therefore it has to go to Iraq and steal the oil. True, right? Everyone knows that. You don't have to be a Muslim to know that. The world is in economic meltdown because they use riba, interest, doubled and multiplied upon multiplication, and it destroys the wealth of the individual, of the country, of the world, of kulul alameen. The whole of mankind is suffering because of it. Because we don't have Islam. Our economic system, finished. Our social service system in England, right now, for 3 years, they've been taking money, the rich has been taking its money back. The banks are making more money in the economy today than they have for the collectively for the last 30 years. In the most dreadful recessionary times in Britain and America, who are the biggest gainers? The banks. That has to be something seriously evil. Right? The world needs Islam. For 1,000 years, Islam ruled over the world. With Islamic law, with goodness and khayr and barakah, and people in Spain, they were able to live. The Jews admit, many of the historians, the top Jewish historians admit that under the Islamic banner, Islam gave the ability to the Jews to have their golden age under Islamic rule. And we say that they're afraid of us. What they went through in the 30s and the 40s, the Jews, is what the Muslims are now going through as well. We're being chased and demonized and publicly slaughtered and told that we are not people that are required. And we have to make a serious change. We have to make a serious change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us. He says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You're the best ummah, the best nation raised up as an example for all other nations. Because what? You command the good and you forbid the evil. If you don't command the good, forbid the evil, what are you? You are cannon fodder. You will be gotten rid of. Allah does not need you. Today, we want to start to make the change.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah kareem.